ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Now, you'd get the impression from the way technology is reported and discussed that it's primarily, overwhelmingly, a Western phenomenon. We hear about Silicon Valley and how Western lives have been changed by innovations and tech shortcuts and the big business deals that are, well, that are being done and the race for the startup funding. But where tech is having the most impact arguably, is where most of the world's population lives. We're talking Africa, Asia, Latin America, and much of the impact is not good. A new online publication called Rest of World reports on everything from using WhatsApp in Nigeria to sourcing cheap rice to Elon Musk capitulating to Pakistan's government. And the stories are endless and disturbing. Rest of World's editor-in-chief is Arno Kufle, and he joins us from New York. And Itika Sharmapune, the deputy editor, joins us from Warsaw. And my first question is, Itika, to you, Itika, is why Warsaw?
Hi, Philip. Thank you so much for having us on your show. Well, I am an Indian journalist. I have been an Indian tech journalist for about 15 years, and I'm in Warsaw just temporarily. It's mostly for personal reasons.
Now, Anoop, you are not exactly a native New Yorker yourself.
I'm not. I am originally from Nepal, and I came to the U.S. for college, and now suddenly I've lived here for 20 years.
I understand you also have an Australian connection.
I do. My brother is a dentist in a town called Coffs Harbour.
Okay. Now, Anoop, would you tell us about Sophie Schmidt, the founder and CEO of Rest of the World Publication, because her father is Mr. Google, more or less.
Yes, so Sophie, who founded us, she comes from a tech family herself. Eric Schmidt, her father, was the former CEO of Google. And Sophie, she's lived all over the world, and she came up with this idea for Rest of the World around 2018, 2019, after she spent a decade in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. And she often talks about how she was frustrated that nobody back home in Silicon Valley was talking about how technology was just dramatically reshaping the places that she'd lived and experienced. So that's why we exist. In 2019, she founded the place. I helped launch it in 2020, and she's committed to a large annual donation to support our journalism operations for the first 10 years.
Well, that's absolutely marvelous. And the good Sophie is funding you, and you've just celebrated your third birthday.
That's right. Yeah, we started with about 5-7 full-time folks in 2020, and we are strong team of about 34 journalists all over the world now.
Anoop, the name Rest of World is, somewhat satirical, isn't it?
It is. It's a corporate catch-all term that many corporations here in the West use to denote to everyone else, right? And companies often use it to lump together people and markets outside this wealthy, dominant Western countries. And we kind of embrace the term because I think it captures the problems that we try to fight head on. This casual disregard for billions of people who live outside the West.
So you like the term because it, in a sense, encapsulates the problems.
Yes, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, but also, see, personally for me, I feel like I come from Rest of World, so does Itika, and we've seen how our parts of, where we live in our communities and our countries have been covered for decades and decades in the West. So this opportunity to kind of just embrace that and tell the world what's truly happening on the ground in these places felt like a great opportunity.
It occurred to you where, well, there is this feeling of the future of technology. Where will it be determined?
Well, if you ask me, and taking from what Anoop just said, I am a part of that rest of world. And to me, you know, as someone who looked at companies for their financial filings, tech companies talking about where they're, like, you know, where they're doing business, where they're doing, where they're making their money, it sort of, you know, felt like a casual disregard for billions of people outside of the Western world who were just lumped together somehow. And given the coverage that we've been doing and given what I have seen in my region in South Asia, the future of tech will greatly be determined by these markets. Because if you see now, India, for instance, has one of the world's highest, it has the second largest internet market base. It has a massive young population. The same with Africa, the same with Latin America. And there are big tech users, even for American big tech companies. If you take the example of, say, Facebook or Google or any of these companies, a whole lot of their users are in the global south, are outside the West. So I think it's safe to say that a lot of what happens with tech in the future and what tech does to humanity in the future will be driven by these countries, by these geographies.
One of your taglines is, and I quote, "The future of global tech will be determined outside the West." Mm-hmm. Now, Itika, and your, your reports reflect this, because the organization has just hired some new reporters to cover the intersections of labor and tech. So, gig workers, I guess, manufacturing workers and et cetera. And those new journalists are from Zimbabwe, from Pakistan, from Brazil and Vietnam.
We are very proud of this fellowship that we have just begun. I think it's just 1 week old. We've hired some of the best names in journalism, very seasoned journalists in the four geographies that you mentioned. And they will be solely working for a year, covering stories about at the intersection of labor and tech. Tech, as you see, humans are the machinery of tech. There are people involved who run the technology from behind the scenes. And their stories are so important to be told, whether it is a gig worker or whether it is a BPO worker in Kenya or whether it is a delivery worker in Brazil. All of their stories matter, and I am very excited to see the kind of stories that these fellows will do. Many of them have contributed to us earlier, and we've done a lot of stories about gig work. I'm sure Anoop can talk more to the stories that we've done about gig work that he might want to highlight.
Anoop, let's look at some of the stories, starting with the good news stories. What are some of the real work solutions that people are able to use tech for?
Yeah, around the world, we've seen that tech can enable these real world solutions, and in our reporting, very often we found that people are using platforms, tech platforms, to lift themselves out of hardships, out of poverty, to just connect and figure out, come up with innovative solutions. And one of these stories that has stuck with me is in 2021, we did a story about how a Zimbabwean teacher created this top tutoring academy on WhatsApp. And so just as COVID-19 was wreaking havoc across the world, our reporter in Zimbabwe came across a fascinating story. This 27-year-old teacher who went by the name Dr. Max, that wasn't his real name, he went by the name Dr. Max, was running a tutoring class for A-level students, all entirely on WhatsApp. And he'd become increasingly popular after a majority of students in his WhatsApp group scored A grades in the final exams. And the students' parents were sending him thank you money, $10 per month, for each subject he was tutoring in. And that was more than enough to cover the roughly $40 or so he needed to get about 25 gigabytes of cell phone data to operate a WhatsApp classroom.
Now, it's interesting that he says he doesn't know how to use a computer and doesn't have one.
Yes, and that's fascinating because, like, you know, WhatsApp is effectively the internet in Zimbabwe. You may not have a laptop, you may not have a broadband internet connection, but WhatsApp accounts for nearly half of all internet traffic for the country. Zimbabwe's mobile internet is quite expensive compared with many other sub-Saharan countries, but there are WhatsApp-specific bundles that are very affordable for people. You can buy like a weekly limitless data bundles for anywhere between 50 cents to $1.
Itika, on the other side of the African continent, Nigeria, with WhatsApp is proving very useful at a time of high inflation.
I found this story so fascinating. We ran this story in March, and this was about the time when inflation in Nigeria was upwards of 24%. And middle-class Nigerians were really facing hard time because some estimates say that they were spending 50% of their income only on food. And we came across these WhatsApp groups where a lot of middle-class Nigerians would band together and they would then buy food items in bulk directly from producers. So during the course of reporting of this story, the reporter told us of cases where parents were like, you know, there was a story of the single mother who would go to this grocery shop next door to her house, and one day she just couldn't afford bread that was in the window. And then she got to know about these WhatsApp groups and she joined them. And they would basically, you know, like say 90 people or 200 people, they come together and they buy directly from the farmer, directly like things like milk and vegetables and meat. They buy directly from the producers and they end up saving up to 25% of the retail price. And I found that so amazing. We looked through a lot of screenshots of these groups. We reviewed about nine groups, over 2 months. And I mean, I found it so fascinating. It's such a real world solution for families, for middle class Nigerians, of WhatsApp, which some of us would just casually use for chatting and catching up with friends.
Anoop, isn't it fascinating that a platform or some other innovation developed in one part of the world can be used quite differently in another?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, and we see these examples kind of playing out over and over and over again, because one of the things that continues we see in the stories that we do is how you create something, or Silicon Valley or these new power centers that have, like, you know, that come up with the tech and tech money. What they often fail to understand is, like, whenever there's a new digital technology that launches, people kind of infuse their own habits, their own beliefs, their own biases into the technology that they adopt. So the use cases are just unique from one place to another.
I read that the Philippines government has cracked down on these kinds of, predatory lending apps.
Yes. Well, if I could jump in, that is very true. But at the same time, we are also, if you look at that's the, I'd say, fun of reading and working at Resto World. When you look at different parts of the world and when you join the dots, there are different trends that play out. Anoop, you have something to add to that, I believe.
Yeah, so this one of the themes we come across is, like, you know, the unintended consequences of tech, right? The one I find endlessly fascinating is the proliferation of these online lending apps. Majority of them are on Google Play, and many of them are advertised on social media platforms like Facebook. These apps are providing loans for day-to-day expenses at very, very high interest rates, some as high as like 40%. But there is little to no credit checks, so it's very appealing to the working class community. And the catch is that they know everything about you, these apps, through your phone, and they will ultimately resort to mass online shaming, you know, when someone is late on their payment. The one story we did very early on in 2020 when we launched was about this app called Ocash in Kenya. As part of Ocash's terms and conditions on the Google Play library. When users download the app, they give permission to access their contacts. So when some people started falling behind on their loan payments, debt collectors would hound them, threaten the users, and then ultimately text people on their contact list to say, this person, your friend, your contact, has failed to repay their loans. And it's kind of like a public shaming to force people to repay their loans.
So many wonderful stories, but unfortunately we're out of time. And I thank you both. My guests have been Anu Kufte, editor-in-chief of the online publication Rest of World, and Itika Sharma Punit, deputy editor, and we'll put a link to on our webpage. It's easy enough to find online. Lots of great stories there, we have to say.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.